Coming up on this week's Planet Japan, we'll find out why atheists apparently know more about religion than religious folks. And we'll jump headfirst into the Chinese-Japanese pissing contest that has broken out. Stay tuned for episode 188, Paris is Not in Japan.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Direct from beautiful downtown Okayama City, Japan, you are once again, for no apparent reason, listening to Planet Japan. Get ready to join Doug and Jen as they take you on an unpredictable journey through the wacky and wonderful world they call home. And now, here's Doug and Jen.
So, Jen, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Here we are, the very first day of October as we sit here recording. We are finally into October, everybody's favorite month.
Yes, yes, we've made it.
We've made it to October, and we're still here.
Yeah, I know. It was a tough September, very hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we are survivors.
Yeah.
Indeed.
The fittest.
Hey, welcome everyone to episode 188 of the increasingly lovely Planet Japan. I'm Doug DeLong.
And I'm Jennifer Edda.
We're so glad people decided to come back.
Sure, sure. Spend some time, yeah.
Coming up on this week's Planet Japan, an interview with one of our listeners named Walker Smith.
Ah, yes, Walker.
If indeed, that is his real name.
Oh, please.
Smith.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so.
But his name is Walker.
Will Smith.
He's an American who's here teaching English for the JET program.
That's right, yeah.
So, we got an interview with Walker coming up at the end of the show.
Great.
Now, last time we talked about death and masturbation.
yeah.
On the last episode.
Yeah.
If people are not aware of that, they should go back and review that episode and the previous 186 other episodes.
Yeah, because we're going to have a test later.
Because we're pretty sure people have nothing better to do than to listen to our complete archive.
No kidding.
Yeah, of amazing podcasts.
Right. What are you talking about?
In any event, today we're not going to talk about death
or
masturbation.
Yeah,
I think we kind of covered the subject last time.
Yeah.
So really, there's no need
to review
those two subjects again.
Right. Okay.
So instead, we're just going to talk about Paris Hilton.
Yeah, that's much better.
She came to Japan and was all excited. Ooh, I'm in Japan. I'm going to do some big shot thing.
Yeah.
Until she had a spot of trouble.
Yeah, well, you know, she's under probation. Like, she can't do any international traveling.
She is a bad girl.
She's like, you
know,
facing...
She's sexy, though. She's a sexy bad girl.
I guess, which is why she thinks she can board a plane and try to travel internationally.
That's right. So she got to Japan and they wouldn't let her in.
Yeah, she's not a very bright girl. Yeah.
Apparently there was some negotiations at some point, and she was here for several hours.
Yeah, she was here. They wouldn't let her in, and I think she just ended up leaving back on her private jet.
She said, oh, yeah, I didn't want to come to your dumb country anyway. And she turned around and got back on their plane.
Exactly.
But the Japanese people have taken up arms and are marching in the streets demanding that Paris Hilton be allowed into their country so they can enjoy her, you know, lovely body.
That is complete falsehood. No, it was sort of an interesting blip in the news. Just Paris Hilton was trying to get into the country, even though she's on probation.
One would think that you would get all that nailed down before you actually left the United States sure that you were going to be allowed in.
Right.
Instead of saying, oh, well, let's just go and see what happens. Maybe we'll get in.
Yeah.
Tells them I'm on probation.
No, I personally think it was a promotional thing.
A stunt.
She's not really very, very good about her promotional skills, though. She's good at getting on TV.
Yes.
And in the news. But
and she's good at having a really nice body. Have I said that before?
Come on. I know she's a cute girl, but I swear to God, if she opens her mouth, I mean, it just all goes away, doesn't it?
Not necessarily.
Really?
It depends on the reason she's opening her mouth, I suppose.
What? Come on.
What did he say?
Okay.
But we just wanted to kind of send out our regrets to the Hilton family, the entire family, who's devastated by the news.
No, they were just like, oh, it's another reason we don't want to put her in the will. Come on, man.
Well, as you know, a big spat between China and Japan. Why can't we all just get along?
I know. It just started off so petty and bad, and now it's turned into almost an international incident.
Apparently, we're both fighting over some islands, some uninhabited islands.
Right.
Yeah, because we want them. And they want
them.
Well,
if you can...
And they can't both have them unless, you know, you work things out.
Yeah, it has to do with fishing rights in those areas. So if you own the islands, then you own the sea in between the mainland and the islands and that kind of thing. So yeah, the Chinese have sort of slipped into Japanese waters and gone fishing.
Yeah, so we captured the captain.
Yeah, we arrested him.
And we threw him in the brig.
Yeah.
And we held him against his will for a while.
Against his will. Well, he was sort of arrested because, he according to the law, the international law, he actually broke the law. He shouldn't have been fishing in on Japan's waters. Right now, those islands are officially recognized as Japanese islands. Yeah. Internationally.
But China went and kind of got their panties in a bunch.
Oh, they were really...
They said, give us back our captain.
They were pissed off,
damn
man.
Damn it. They said, damn it.
They said more than damn it.
Give us back our captain.
They said more than damn it, yeah. They threw rocks at the embassy windows
and
stuff.
They got the populace riled up.
Yeah, demonstrations and just craziness.
And you don't want to get all those Chinese people riled up because there's a bunch of them.
And they're the number one economy now.
Yeah, then Japan, finally, after being threatened with this whole rare earth minerals thing where China says, oh yeah, we're not going to give you our rare earth minerals unless you give us our captain. And that means you won't be able to make computers or cars anymore. What about that?
Yeah, exactly. Which sort of prompted other countries to say, what?
Huh? What?
What? Yeah. You know, wait a minute. You know, so...
So Japan figured that they, all right, here's your captain. They gave him back.
So they gave the captain back.
Because they just figured it wasn't worth the trouble.
Yeah, Japanese are pretty good that way. Yeah. Although I think that they would like to have more debate on the subject, of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
So Japan gave back the captain. Mm. And China, instead of just saying, oh, thanks very much, we're happy to have our captain again.
Yeah.
They said, oh, yeah? Well, now you have to apologize. Get on your knees, Japan.
Yeah.
And apologize to us.
It's just silliness.
Your larger neighbor.
Yeah. It just got really, really petty all of a sudden. It's just so silly,
I thought Japan handled the response when they got asked for an apology.
Mm.
I think their answer was right spot on. The tone was very good.
Mm.
It was very diplomatic. They said to China, hey, China, bite me.
Yeah.
We're not going to apologize.
That is not what they said officially.
Words to that effect.
No. Japan has no words to that effect. Trust me on that.
Yeah, but in any event, they did not apologize.
No. They said, no, we're not going to apologize.
No, thank you. Thanks for the offer. I know. Really, we're not going to.
No, but it just got so silly. No, you apologize. Yeah. No, we're not going to apologize for that.
Now, apparently, some Japanese are being held, at least one. I think three were released recently. So now I think they still have, China is still holding one, what is he now, POW? I don't know.
POW. There's no war going on. But I'm not sure why they were arrested. Were they also fishing in China's waters? See, this is so silly. It's just so silly. It's just.
Yeah. I think they just went downtown and arrested the Japanese teachers that were at the school there. So come with us. I'm not sure. But it's a mess, and it's.
Yeah, it is a mess. We'll keep you posted.
I don't think we're in any imminent danger of.
No.
Huge conflagrations.
No, but it's, yeah.
But it wouldn't, you know, you might want to book an airplane just in case.
Yeah.
Things get crazy. Hey, guess what?
What?
We have a religion corner.
Oh, wonderful.
And in this week's religion corner, we reveal some shocking news, which, when you think about it, actually makes a lot of sense. And that is that atheists know more about religion than people who are members of those religions.
Well, that would be
according to a recent
sense,
study.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me, especially if you're coming from America, because we're all sort of steeped really heavily into Christian.
Steep, yes,
tea. Like tea, exactly like tea. Yeah. Our little tea brains.
The tea.
Just sort of sucked all
that
up.
That's where the tea baggers came from. Their powerful political movement shaking the country to its very core.
Okay. But, you know, it would make sense that atheists would start questioning these sort of beliefs that they've been sort of hammered into them, you know, at some point. So,
well, the point is, I think maybe that atheists, many atheists, I don't know most, but many atheists come from religious backgrounds.
Yeah. Start
questioning and having doubts, and those are the people who eventually become atheists. Mm. So you end up with a group of atheists who have more knowledge in the area of, like, church history and so on.
Yeah, history and reasons behind things and stuff like that, yeah.
Whereas people who just get into a religion go for the emotional punch that they receive, and they don't necessarily bother to do the research. They just go, oh, it feels good. I'll go with you guys.
Exactly, yeah.
I think I've figured it out.
Yeah, exactly. That makes perfect sense to me. It's exactly it.
Well, yeah, but according to the Pew study, I love that name.
I know, that's nice.
Yeah, they should have a skunk for a logo.
Pew. That is a fun word to say, isn't it?
Yes, and we're not talking about church pews either.
I know, which is exactly what I thought it was when you first... Yes, what about the Pew study? I'm like, why would you study pews?
Yeah, but I always did wonder. Yeah. I used to ask my pastor back in the day, why do we call them pews when they smell perfectly fine?
Ha ha ha.
And he didn't have an answer for that.
No, no.
And that's when I became an atheist. Exactly.
Yeah, why do they call them pews? Yeah. That is a good question. Well, good job.
It was a stumper.
Be more like, why are they so uncomfortable? I mean, come on.
Really, a couple pillows?
Yeah, seriously.
Come on. Yeah. That always bugged the hell out of me that we had to sit on those hard, like some kind of punishment.
Yeah, it's a very, very archaic way to look at church. Actually, I think they probably have lazy boys nowadays just to get people in.
Massage chair.
Massage chair. Now, see, I'm going to church.
I would go to church for the massage chair.
Actually, that you're right. Awesome. I would. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If I got a free use of a massage chair for a whole 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The eternal life, I can take or leave, but the massage chair.
Yeah, at least get me to church. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, awesome.
Hey, there's a brand new web series on this thing they call the internet. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
It's been in all the papers. Well, actually, wait, there are no papers anymore, but it's been in the news.
Right.
Yeah, the internet. There's a new web series called English Teachers.
Okay, English Teachers.
Not the most creative name.
What is it about, huh? I wonder, what's this English Teachers about?
It's about drama and love and life in the exciting Eikaiwa world here in Japan, where crazy foreigners come and try to teach English to the native population.
Yeah.
Who are just clamoring to become English speakers.
Well.
And the drama and the love and the lust.
Lust.
And the moistness that goes on in these Eikaiwas. They put it on the screen, on the internet, so that people can enjoy.
Make it sound like a porno.
Well, boob grabbing in the first episode.
Excellent.
I saw it. The first episode, a little bit of boob grabbing.
Really?
Babbing groove. Yes, they were babbing groove.
It's a code name. It's the code name for 13-year-old boys.
No, in the first 2 minutes, one of the teachers gets groped.
Wow.
Accidentally.
Is that supposed to be like a hard-hitting
kind
of thing?
Accidentally. Or it wasn't. See, when it's an accident, it's humorous.
I see.
When it's on purpose, it's kind of disgusting.
I don't know. I haven't seen it at all, so it would be maybe interesting to check out.
It's just a comedic... More or less comedic. I think there's a little romance thrown in. But it's a fun show. The production values are very good.
Okay. Yeah, I'll check it out.
And it looks like an interesting concept. They got some actual, actors to come in.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah, which is always better.
Yeah that's true.
Get a professional actor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, it's called English Teachers, and we'll put a link on planetjapan.org so people can rush over there and check it out.
And check it out. Okay.
Yeah. There are more segments to come. I believe only the first one is up online at the moment. Well, we have a Dick of the Week.
Oh, of course.
As we do every week, because it is the best darn part of the show. It's really what people write home about.
Yeah, yeah.
Or email or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want to be sure to tell the world about the Dick of the Week.
Of course.
This time it's a Japanese guy.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't, we try to spread it around. Sometimes it's Japanese, sometimes it's American.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's Australian.
There's never a shortage of dicks.
No, they're in every country.
I know. We have no problem with this part of the show, actually.
This is a guy who is 77.
Okay.
Okay, and sad story. His wife died.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
73.
She was 73, okay.
So they didn't find out this fact until 3 months later, however.
Oh. Okay, why is
when,
that?
When neighbors started complaining of the smell coming from his apartment, which turned out to be the decomposed body of his once lovely wife.
Nice. So then why didn't he do anything about
You would think when somebody dies, you get on the phone and you tell somebody. Yeah.
Exactly. At least a hospital or something.
You would think.
Yeah.
But he just told the police when they finally caught up with him that, I was thinking about it, but I just thought, it's too much trouble.
Too much trouble.
Too much trouble to actually take care of my wife's body. So I'll just leave it out here on the balcony.
Yeah, that's not too much trouble. Yeah, it smells, I'm sure. And it's just not very... It's just kind of gross,
It is kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
And he's been charged with... what is the technical charge when you...
What, abandoning a dead body or
there
something?
There you go. I suppose that would fit the bill.
Yeah. Right. It's really bizarre. Or, you know, he's 77, no? I wonder if he has some sort of crazy dementia or something, and he just...
I would claim, if I was a lawyer, I would make that claim.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. What is today? What?
Yeah,
my wife? I forgot I had a wife. What?
Exactly. On the other hand, I've been thinking about it. And as you know, I've got a balcony, and I've kind of pimped it out to make it more comfortable.
Yeah, it's pretty tricked out, yeah.
It's tricked out, yes. Yeah. It's tricked out, exactly.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's a little garden area.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, maybe if I die, or when I die, I would just assume somebody put me out there on one of the chairs so I could enjoy the sunshine.
Exactly.
Rather than, you know, under the ground, 6 feet under. That does not sound like my idea of a good time.
Right.
If you know what
it's
I mean.
It's kind of dark.
Yeah. So just go ahead. Put me out there on the balcony.
Okay.
I've got some spray, some deodorant kind of. You might want to spray every couple of days out there.
You can just shellac me.
Yeah.
Stick me out there. Hi.
But he is this week's Dick of the Week.
Oh, congratulations.
We will send out his certificate as soon as we print it out. Hey, it's time for the Tech Corner.
Ooh.
Yeah,
great.
Now this is usually we do a Japanese tech.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, I believe, is out of Canada, maybe? Vancouver?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
They got this new 3D optical illusion of a little girl playing with a ball, as they do. Yeah.
Oh, like a hologram?
No, it's like, you know how you can paint on a 2D surface and create a 3D illusion?
Right. I see.
They're very cool, actually.
Yeah. I know exactly
what you're talking about. Some artists have done that on... Mm-hmm. Like public sidewalks and so on.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So now, in the street, they're using that same idea to make it appear from a distance when you're driving your car that there is a little girl in the middle of the street playing with her ball.
Right.
Causing
so
you, to most people,
slow down.
To slow down.
Right.
Some people might speed up. That would be the wrong reaction. So instead of a speed bump, they put out this little optical illusion.
Huh, that's interesting. I hope you can sort of make it out from far enough away to flip out, right?
Well, get in the road. There you go. That's true. Yeah, you see it from a distance.
Yeah.
You slow down. The closer you get, you go,
realize.
Oh, it's just a 2D.
Yeah, it's just a picture.
Yeah, and then you run right over it.
I don't know. If you're used to seeing them, though, you know, if you're used to seeing it in that particular spot, right, you know that it's a drawing, and so you just speed up anyway.
Yeah, some real little girl playing with a ball is going to get killed.
Somehow, yeah.
When somebody figures, oh, it's just that stupid 3D thing.
I'm going to go fast anyway, So
that's not good.
Yeah.
They might want to rethink the whole concept.
Yeah, really, though.
It's just they're trying it on a trial basis for a couple of weeks to see
if it would help.
If anybody ends up dying or not.
Right.
Or if people actually slow down. Yeah. It's,
it's
kind of like
an
putting
interesting
those
idea,
dummy cops in the police cars.
Right,
they still
exactly.
Do that?
Yeah, they do. And
they put a dummy in there instead of a real person.
Right, so it makes you it makes you think
makes you slow down.
It does work. They even have in Japan, you know, the lights on the top of a cop's car, they just have that on the side of the road, like at night, you can't see whether it's a car or not. You can just see the lights. And so you think it's just the lights. There's no car there. There's nothing. Just the lights. And it gets people to sort of slow down.
Well, there you go. Trickery at its very finest.
It's for your own good. Come on.
That's right. If they have to trick you, that's just the price you pay to be free.
That's the price you pay to be safe, I guess.
Hey, let's go over and do a go-go, a Nihongo a go-go, where we entertain the audience with some of the very most entertaining Japanese onomatopoeia.
Onomatopoeias.
And?
And like an idiom or
idioms,
an expression.
Yes.
Yeah.
And today's onomatopoeia is?
Gara-gara.
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 Okay. It sounds like I'm gargling, kind of.
It does, yeah. But it's also, if you think of like a coffee can that you keep beans in, like dry beans or something, and they go down as you use them, right?
Yeah.
And so you have like just a few in the can, and you sort of shake it, and it goes kind of gara gara, that kind of sound.
Ah.
So it means something just about empty, not
just about empty.
Is that that's exactly what it means? Just about empty.
The head of a Republican, for example. That would be an instance you could say gara gara.
Sure. No problem. But
and I apologize to all my Republican friends.
Oh, yeah.
I have a few Republican friends.
Yeah, every member of my family.
Yeah, your family.
Sorry. No. But yeah, it can even be used for like, you know, the amount of people in a place, like, you know, oh, this dance club is really gotta. There's like not many people here.
I get
not
it.
Very exciting. Okay. Yeah.
Gotta. And how's our idiom?
This is really a cool idiom because I'm not aware of any sort of expression for this in English, like a set expression. But to explain it, it means to have a bad premonition, like have a bad omen or something, like feel something strange in your life. And it's called mushi no shirase.
Mushi
no shirase.
Shirase.
Mushi means bug or insect.
Okay.
And shirase means news.
News.
News. And
so it's news,
from
a bug.
Yeah. So it's and like, the, you know, having like an insect buzzing around your head.
Oh, I hate that.
And yeah. And
mosquitoes buzzing in my ears.
Yeah, mosquitoes or flies or something.
Yeah, that's
so they're really sort of annoying.
It's, sure.
And it means to have a feeling of badness.
Some impending doom?
Yeah. And it's always used for a negative thing. Like something bad is going to happen. Like you have this, I had a dream of my father and the next day he died or... Ooh. Something along those lines, like I was late for my plane, but it turned out the plane crashed or something like that, some kind of premonition that's...
Well, that would be a good thing.
Yeah, it would be a good thing. But I guess to have an accident is sort of a bad thing, though.
So if I'm getting news from a bug, it means I'm getting some kind of weird premonition of something bad.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Sarah Palin is the president. News from a bug.
News from a bug.
I like that one.
I know. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's a little bit trippy. And that's this week's Nihongo.
Go.
It's gone. Okay, as promised, here's our interview with a faithful listener and also a brand new JET teacher here in Japan. He's got lots of very useful information for anyone thinking about maybe coming to Japan to teach English, especially in the JET program, which is a Japanese government program which hires foreign English teachers to work in the Japanese public school system. So I started the interview with kind of a softball question. What's your name?
My full name is Walker Addison Smith.
And you're from Canada.
I am. I'm from Vancouver, Canada.
I mistakenly identified you as an American earlier today.
That actually happens pretty regularly.
Yeah, so I apologize for that.
No, don't even worry about it. I was at the train station yesterday with a friend, and I had a Japanese man on a bicycle ride two circles around me saying, "America des, America des." Which was very strange.
Are you sure it wasn't death to America?
That may, you know, maybe. But we conveniently spoke some Japanese, so we told him to beat it in no uncertain terms. Yeah, and he did.
Beat it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, all you Canadians and Americans, you all look alike to me.
Yeah,
all look the same, really hard to tell you apart. But how long have you been in Japan now?
Well, I've been in Japan for... Well, since the 1st of August, actually.
Okay, but you were here once before.
I was. I was here 3 years ago. I did a year exchange at Ritsumeikan University.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you were a student then.
Yes, I was. I mostly spent my time hanging out with people and, you know, partying and such, and not very much time studying Japanese, which is a bit of a shame. But I did spend a year here before.
Okay, and now you're a high school teacher.
Yes, I am. I teach high school in Okayama Prefecture.
How's that going?
It's interesting. It's not exactly what I expected. I thought there would be like rows of attentively paying attention young students who are excited.
That's a fantasy world. Yeah, concocted, isn't it?
Complete fantasy.
Yeah. Are you enjoying it, though?
I am. It's definitely has a pretty steep learning curve associated with it.
Yeah.
I've never planned a lesson before up until a couple weeks ago, so...
Well, planning is highly overrated.
Yeah.
Now, how did you? How is it you ended up here? What brought you here, as it were?
I came over with the JET program.
Okay.
Which is, I guess, a Japanese government program that is designed to recruit teachers. As far as my motivation, I really wanted to come back to Japan. I wanted to work on my Japanese, and I wanted to sort of do the experience again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe write this time.
But how old are you now?
I'm 23 years old.
Wow.
I'm freshly graduated from university, and I basically walked off my university campus and then onto a plane.
So you're planning to stay here a year?
Yeah, at least a year. My contract is August to August, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay. That was my plan, too, when I came here 20 years ago.
Oh, okay, noted.
I was going to stay just a year, maybe two at the outside. Yeah, but then I just I couldn't come up with a good reason to go back home.
I've heard that occurs, yeah.
So here I am, yeah. It'll be 20 years in March.
In March.
Yeah. Where has the time gone? So you were telling me about your accommodations, and I guess they don't really sound like they're primo.
Well, I'm very thankful for them. They are there. I didn't have to look for an apartment, and they are provided for me by the prefecture. I don't have to pay rent, but
yeah.
I have a Japanese toilet. I do not have hot water on demand. I have to...
You don't have hot water on demand. What does that mean?
It means I can pour a bath and then light this really ancient and dangerous-looking hot water heater that runs on propane that sits next to the bathroom.
I used to have one of those.
And it, like, circulates it, and
yeah.
I'm sure it's a death trap.
Yeah, in my modern apartment, I have it on demand. I just, whenever I demand hot water, it appears. It's like magic.
That sounds very modern and convenient.
When I first came to Japan, the first thing I did when I moved into my apartment and I saw the Japanese toilet... I rushed out and I got one of those adapters.
I've heard of those adapters, yeah, and I've seen
them. It sits on top of the toilet.
But the unfortunate thing is, if I were to put one of those into my bathroom, there would be nowhere for me to sit because my legs would be where the door would need to be.
Ah.
It's a rather cramped space.
I see. Sounds lovely.
No, it's great.
So you're stuck with a Japanese toilet.
Yeah.
These days, Japanese toilet, when you say Japanese toilet, you're really not talking about... The old-fashioned kind, because most people these days have the brand-new modern, snazzy, fancy washlets.
Yeah, those are an experience, that's for sure.
Yeah, those are fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you, unfortunately, have one of these thousand-year-old style Japanese toilets.
Troughs in the ground made of porcelain, essentially. Yeah.
So are there other foreigners working at your school?
There aren't any other foreigners working at my school, but there are lots of other foreigners in the prefecture. Lots of English teachers. There's lots of jets. There's people from private companies. I can't hardly step out without meeting one.
So do you have a wide circle of foreign friends?
Or it's growing.
Or do you mostly hang out with your Japanese friends?
I don't actually have any Japanese friends yet.
Ah.
Although a lot of the teachers at my high schools, they keep asking me if I drink or not.
Which, that's a hint.
I know, it's a hint. So I've started saying, yes, would you like to go drinking? And they start planning things.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, actually.
So now you've got some Japanese friends.
So it would seem.
Do you get along with the teachers at your school, the Japanese teachers?
Yeah.
Any problems in that area?
I haven't had any conflicts yet. I've felt kind of left out to dry a few times because they just say, teach conversation. And then I say, well, is there a curriculum? And they say... No, just teach conversation, which, as someone who has never really taught before, is a bit of a daunting task.
Yeah.
I actually did a full lesson on the word cool last week.
Oh, that's a good lesson.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's, like, be cool. Is everybody cool?
Uh-huh.
It's cool. You're cool.
There you go.
Yeah, I had dialogues and everything. That was a lot of fun.
Well, you can't really speak English fluently unless you understand the various... nuances of cool.
I had 5 grammar points on cool.
It's a key word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, are you like a countryside school, or are you in the city?
I actually teach at 5 schools, and they're all over Okayama City itself.
Oh. So every class you teach, you only see them once a week?
Sometimes I see them once every 2 weeks.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's the class size like?
It's always 40 kids.
Wow, that's a big class.
I know.
Yeah.
I thought that was like huge. And people at home get very frustrated when there's 32 children in a class or something.
Now, what does a jet get paid these days?
Jets are all on the same salary. It is 300,000 yen a month.
Well, that's not so bad.
No, it's all right.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are perks, like sometimes you get a free car, or sometimes you do not. You know, sometimes it's actually sort of... not as good a job as you would expect because you move to Japan and you have to pay thousands of dollars in key money to get an apartment, and then your rent is exorbitant and they gouge you on this and that and the other. And sometimes you get my situation where there was no key money, my rent is free.
Yeah.
They essentially just held my hand through the entire, you know, immigration process and stuff like that. It's different for everybody, I believe, is what they say.
So are you able to save money from that monthly salary, or do you normally go through most of it?
I burn through it pretty quickly, but I've gotten 2 paychecks, and each time I've saved 50,000 yen.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm, it's pretty solid. The exchange rate's really good right now for sending home. So,
do any of the jet teachers teach private lessons on the side?
Well, I understand that some do. That is not something that they're supposed to do.
Do they tell them they shouldn't do that or they can't do that?
It's in our contract that we're not supposed to take other work on the side.
Is there any enforcement of that?
I don't think anyone's watching, but then again, I don't know. I just got here.
Yeah. Why shouldn't you be able to, for crying out loud?
Mm-hmm.
What's the big deal?
You know what? I wish I could tell you. when I came on my student visa last time, they had this huge presentation of things we could and could not do with our visas, and one of them was you cannot work in an establishment where the lighting is lower than a certain lux. And I didn't even know what lux was, but apparently a luxometer is a way of measuring light intensity. So essentially it was a very polite way of saying you're not allowed to work in bars or strip clubs.
Oh, well, that's no fun.
It's a tragedy. But no, this time they were pretty clear about it. Do not work outside of JET, is what they said.
Apparently you've had many Japanese people, mostly women,
mm-hmm.
who have come up to you and attempted to tell you about Jesus. Which is odd, because this is not a big Jesus country.
No. That's not the impression that I was given. But recently, yes, I sat down in a coffee shop, and a woman spoke to me in English, and I was kind of excited. I was having a nice chat with her, and she said that she had lived in the United States for about 5 years in the 80s, and she liked it there, but she had to come home so that she could spread the word of Jesus. And then she proceeded to tell me that Jesus is coming back soon, and I said, oh, really? And she said, yes, there are very many signs. And I said, like what? Her example was, right now the yen is very high.
Ah.
It is damaging the Japanese economy.
Yeah.
And the Western currencies, like the dollar, are low by comparison. And this is a bad thing.
I think there is something in Revelation about the Japanese yen.
I think so too, yeah. But that was it. There was a full stop after that sentence.
Yeah.
And then she proceeded to talk about something else. And also, I was in Hiroshima last weekend, and we went to the park, the Peace Park, with the nuclear dome,
right.
And I was approached not once, but three times by Japanese Jehovah's Witnesses.
Now, see, Jehovah's Witnesses, they are everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah. They'll come to your door and just bug the heck out of you, wanting to give you their little magazines.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literature, I believe they refer to.
Yes. Yes, these beautiful pamphlets,
mm-hmm.
telling you all about their unusual point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And it is quite unusual.
It is, in fact.
Yeah, it's not your mainstream Christianity.
They're very popular, it would seem, because they have people who are willing to go out to the park on their weekends and harass people like me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not an easy sell, I wouldn't imagine.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're Jehovah's Witness extravaganza.
Yes.
Well, it was nice to meet you.
It was very nice being on the Planet Japan.
Thank you for coming into the studio on such late notice.
Thank you very much for having me.
Enjoy your Japanese experience. Okay, that's it for this time. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to go over to planetjapan.org, where you'll find our lovely show notes. If you want to send a message to us, we are at planetjapan07@gmail.com. We're going to close out the show tonight with a great song from a singer from Illinois named John Crane, a very interesting song called The Story of the Japanese Bat Bomb. It's courtesy of musicalley.com.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Work as a dental surgeon, March of 1943. They need a way to beat the Japanese, so I stepped up. I made up a weapon that was elementary, but effective to a T, and I showed them. They all agreed that it could work. No, in 16 days, my bomb will make its way. Nagasaki, America the beautiful lives on. Lately I've been drinking, feeling bad for what I've done. to the land of the rising sun and its daughters. Many men and women will die from what I've made. They will fear my bad brigade flying over western waters. We watched the fuel truck burn. Realized that it was our turn to tell them how to die. It's for the greater good. There is no other way. I'm sorry to say, America the beautiful, America the beautiful, America the beautiful lives on.